In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is the one just read. A summary of that text might be this: a wise man chooses the real riches. The coach was inciting his team toward the end of the game, and he said to the men, "This is the crucial point, the critical point in the game. Give all you've got." The text seems to be just the opposite of that. It seems to talk about getting. The Lord said to Solomon, "Ask what you will." An invitation, by the way, that might well be directed toward men preparing for and about to enter the ministry. All of you will at one time, if you have not already, ask yourself this question: do I have what it takes to make it in the ministry? Well, in this text, Solomon is about to take over as king in Israel. And from any human point of view, he already has just about everything: youth and health and wealth and a reputation. He's the king's son. And now the owner of it all, the owner of all the riches and all the treasures and the glory of them in heaven and earth, as it were, opens heaven's treasure house to him and says, "Ask what you will." In effect, saying to him, "Ask and it shall be given to you." Now, that invitation and the promise to ask and it will be given you comes from the very heart of God, and I guess you could say leads us to the very heart of God and reveals to us what's there. It says something about the very nature of God. His very nature is to give. He loves to give. The entire universe and everything in it, all of the treasures and riches, all the glories of them, are a gift. A gift from the Heavenly Father to humankind. You can be trusted with the whole thing, he says, in effect, to our first parents, Adam and Eve. It's all yours. All things are yours. And, of course, the restoration of all things in Christ is a gift of God's grace. That is, when you receive Christ, you receive everything. Christ brings with him all things. If you possess the creator of the universe, you must also possess the creation, Luther says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Obviously, he knows that it's better to give than to receive. He has always acted on that principle. His very nature is to give everything he has, himself included, if necessary. It's not possible to give more than that. That's giving all you've got. Now, that's not the way I am. I like to get things. The more, the better. The nature of man since the fall is to take. In contrast to God, the principle that we live by is the principle of the grasping hand, or the Oriental figure might be the evil eye. It's what our Lord, I think, had in mind when he said to the laborers in the vineyard who complained about those coming at the 11th hour getting the same pay as they, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" And then Solomon says, "He that hastens to be rich has an evil eye." We all want to get as much as we can while the getting and the grabbing and the grasping are good. We worship the creature, the creation, rather than the creator. That's sinning against the first commandment: "You shall have no other gods before me." And we all do it. And what's worse, we can't quit. We want to hang on to everything we've got and we want more, sort of like in primitive societies where monkeys are trapped and then enslaved, imprisoned. When they put their paws into a clay pot with an opening, just big enough and a reward at the bottom and make a fist by grasping hold of that reward and then refusing to let go to release themselves, and so are trapped by their greed. Well, the natural response for, I guess, all of us today would be this one. Ask what you will, and you might respond by saying, well, I'd like a nice parish with nice people, with a good salary in a beautiful location, and then I could really live it up. I could live the abundant life. But Solomon's response to that invitation to ask what you will is fascinating. He says, I'm little. I'm a child. And in the Hebrew, that word includes the idea of humility. It's the same word which we find in Genesis chapter 32, where Jacob is just coming back from 20 years of exile with his father-in-law Laban to meet his estranged brother, and he's frightened. And then in his prayer he says, I'm not worthy, I'm little, I'm a child. Sort of reminds us of the prodigal, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son, or like the centurion, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof into my tabernacle. The lesser, of course, is blessed by the greater. He seems so weak, doesn't he? He seems so little, this great king-to-be. But Solomon knows that in this relationship he's the lesser and that God is the greater. And in this childlikeness, he really is ready to receive everything. And in the context, he points to God's mercy. Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. God's mercy for Solomon is first and last. That's the first thing he says. You have showed unto my father David mercy. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Solomon knew it. God had mercy on him. And the very last thing Solomon does, after he asks for that wise and understanding heart, wisdom, the very last thing he does is to appear before the Ark of the Covenant. Well, the mercy seat was there, where the blood was sprinkled on the Day of Atonement, where the overshadowing cherubim were, and the King of Kings, the Shepherd of Israel, dwelt between those cherubim. The Shepherd of Israel who would eventually lay down his life for the sheep. The place of the atonement for sin is the place where the blessing is conferred. Solomon knew where to go to receive the blessing. The wisdom which Solomon and anyone else who wants to lead, who wants to serve others, beyond all other wisdom, is the wisdom which is found there, at the place of the atonement for sin. The blessing from which every other blessing flows is to be found there. The Shepherd of Israel, dwelling between the cherubim above the mercy seat, he is the source of every blessing, and with him everything else comes too. And this Old Testament shadow of the ark and the mercy seat and the sprinkled blood and the overshadowing cherubim and the Shepherd of Israel, the King of Kings dwelling there, is finished. It's fulfilled or complete. We see that in this scene on Easter morning. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels, cherubim in white, sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. It's finished. He gave all he's got. He can't give more than that. Unlike us, he was willing to let go of his most precious possession, his most precious treasure. And he did that for us. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. But he seems so weak, hanging there, this great king-to-be. And now Paul says again to the Corinthians, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is made unto us God's wisdom. In Christ, we now know what God is doing when we were blind to it before. In Christ, the sin of the world has been taken away, and all the effects of it, all the brokenness and the meanness and the lostness, the lovelessness, the selfishness, the shame, the abuse, the disease, the death. This is the wisdom of that shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep, the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. This is the wisdom that Solomon knew he needed. He needed it in order to answer all the hard, all the difficult questions which would be put to him as leader in Israel. And even though he was to be the leader of a great nation which could not be numbered in multitude, the text says, yet like a little child, he bowed before the greater king, the great leader, the shepherd, the owner of all the treasures of heaven, and all of them had been proffered to him. Ask what you will. They were all at his disposal. He spurned all of those and chose rather the real riches, the real treasure. In effect, he said, what I really need to lead and to serve these people is wisdom to discern good and evil. And no sooner said than done. Before they ask, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. He asked for the gift, God's wisdom, and he got it. And all the other things were added to him too. If you get the diamond, obviously the case comes with it. Here's what the Lord says, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. Christ brings it all with him. And he brings that for us too. And with this treasure which we poor, weak, little people carry about with us in earthen vessels, we make many rich. We really make foolish men wise. Well, what better request for men preparing for and about to enter the ministry? If you then be risen with Christ, seek, ask, knock. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Ask. Ask. And it shall be given you. What an invitation. And what a promise. In this wisdom, Christ, in this wisdom alone is the answer to all the evil, all the disasters that people will look to you for answers to. There is no other wisdom, no other good answer for the evil that men experience in this broken, diseased, dying world. He is God's good answer. He is God's wisdom for all of mankind's evil. In him, all things, in fact, do work together for good. So now, you know what it takes to make it in the ministry. You've always known. And you've got it to give to poor men everywhere. And it is my prayer then that God will continue to give every one of you, all of us, a clear vision of the real riches and the strength and the willingness to give it all you've got in proclaiming to poor men everywhere the unsearchable riches of Christ. In this way, enriching this poverty-stricken, dark world. May he grant that for his son's sake. Amen.